Let's open with a word of prayer first. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now we're going to spend some time looking at our reading we just had from Colossians chapter 3 verses 12 to 17. And in preparation, reading through this passage a number of times, I came up with the working title of Teen Talk. As I've said before, I have a golden rule when reading the Bible, that being always pray first. If we truly believe it to be the inspired word of God, written by some 40 people over 1,500 years, then by praying we should expect God through his Holy Spirit to inspire us. Therefore I have to give over to the Holy Spirit that working title of Teen Talk. There is a running conversation as to what this gathering is for. Who are in the seats of our churches? Are we providing services for our home team? Or for those still considering faith and regular worship time? Prompted by some life event that makes the individual come along and receive some comfort, some reassurance, and maybe hoping for some help towards a personal decision of faith. That all this is true and not just religious pageantry. Then there are those who attend week on week and have made that decision of faith and have started that journey, and attendance about checking in and making sure they're on track and enjoying the fellowship of fellow believers. Well, I'll come back to that later. But for now, I'd like to take some time and look at our reading we just had from Colossians. First, we'll do a bit of background, a quick reminder of what this letter's situation was. And secondly, what the writer might have been hoping the first recipients would receive. And then finally, consider if this has anything to do with us today. So let's just refresh our memories of the background to this letter. In chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. And then right at the end, chapter 4, verse 18, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. In his final greeting, Paul makes quite a mention of a long list of brothers and sisters in Christ. And he wants this epistle to be shared round to the churches in both Colossae and Laodicea. In chapter 4, verse 16, we read, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read this letter from Laodicea. Colossae and Laodicea being neighbouring towns in the middle of what is now Turkey. Incidentally, the letter from Laodicea is considered to be the letter to the Ephesians. Anyway, you can do your own research and decide upon that. The important thing to take that from that is that Paul wanted his letters shared around amongst all the churches. And of course we do that. In chapter 1, verse 7, we read, you learnt it from Epiphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister in Christ on our behalf. So from what we have read in this letter, we must deduce that Paul is under house arrest in Rome sometime after AD 60, that the church in Colossae was set up by, or started by Epiphras, who had reason to travel around and must have taken Christianity home at some point. That Epiphras is with Paul in Rome, and Paul is interested to hear about this church and other church and how they're getting on. And so Paul is writing this letter to guide and encourage them in their journey of faith. We must also assume that as much as he wanted to, in all probability, Paul never did visit these fellowships, these churches at Colossae or Laodicea. Well, now let's have a closer look at our passage today in verses 12 to 17 of chapter 3. We can make this easy for ourselves by dividing up into two parts. The first is about the individual, verses 12 to 14, and the second about conduct towards one another in verses 15 to 17. Notice Paul starts a section off with a key word, therefore. This means that we need to understand what has previously been said. Well, I can tell you, Paul is congratulating them on becoming Christians, and as such they've become new people, ridding themselves of old bad habits and old behaviours, and that they're all equal in the sight of God. Well done, he is saying, you are all in the team on this journey of faith together. As we read on in the first part, considering individuals who have taken this step of faith, Paul uses some powerful words. God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Well, that's quite a phrase that would ring bells with any Jew who knew his Old Testament. But Paul is saying this to non-Jews, i.e. Gentiles. Paul goes on and reminds the reader that no one is perfect. They are all to bear with one another, just as Jesus phrased in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Indeed, as Jesus forgave the Colossian and the Laodicean before they'd even heard of Jesus Christ. Paul continues his encouragement in this link verse from individual to corporate in verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. The Colossian and the Laodicean are all part of one church, one fellowship now. And as individual members of this one community, then by focusing on God, they should be at peace, thankful to God. In verse 16, you could think that Paul was talking about Sunday worship. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And verse 17 is about day-to-day living. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The Colossian and Laodicean Christian is to be distinctive in day-to-day conduct. Well, there's some thoughts on what the original recipient might have taken on hearing this for the first time. Imagine for 1 minute one of our fellowship here in Harwell going and meeting Paul, and over a cup of tea and perhaps a slice of cake, or maybe you've had enough cake over Christmas, Paul asks about our church here. What would Paul make of it? What would we tell Paul about the goings on here? and what would be in Paul's letter to us. Would our letter be saying, right now, from what I hear, you clearly are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved? Would the words compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience be included? Would we read, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, guided by the Holy Spirit, in verse 16. Helping one another in our journey of faith. A little help here and there through worship time and home group fellowship. Making it easy for inquirers by holding meetings like Alpha. All too often I hear rather negative sermons saying, we're not good or we've failed. Of course, sometimes we do fail. But as long as we're honest with God, He does offer forgiveness, and we do get to start again. Sometimes, of course, we do have to hear no or not from the pulpit. After all, when we give directions, we do say things like, not the first, not the second left, but it's the third. And no, you can't miss it, it's the one with the red door. Quite normal language, really. But in our reading today, I'm getting lots of encouragement. And when I think of our fellowship here, I do think of us realizing what we've received from Jesus Christ. That we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And we are clothed with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. That we are pretty good at forgiving one another as Jesus forgave us. That the message of Christ does dwell amongst us. And that we are good at helping one another as we travel together, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. That running conversation of who is in our church. I hope it's not just the home team, but some that are considering joining us. I hope that our words and deeds beyond these walls make Christianity attractive. There will be some here today who want to make that first step. And in a way you have, the very fact that you are here, already God is working in you. As we reach the end of 2015 and begin the 2016, let us all make a resolution to commit ourselves to being in the team, helping one another in our actions, acting like Christ, as Christians being attractive to one another. I'm going to close now with a prayer. Why not follow quietly along to yourselves? And if you're making a new commitment today, then do tell me, or Jonathan, or one of the clergy, or another member of the church here. We'd love to support you as you join the team and set out on your journey of faith. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive my past ways. I would like to be one of your holy people known for compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Guide me by your Holy Spirit so that whatever I do in word or deed, it honours you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.